good day today, latest night, but chapter 6. I have a pet rock, and this pet rock is very temperamental. It really is. And it was downstairs today with me, and I had it talking to it. And so Ariana comes up, and she grabs a hold of it, and she slams it down on my desk. And you know what that rock did? It bit her. Bit her right in the finger. In fact, it almost took a finger off. And it made a believer out of her that, you know, she has to be nice to rocks. And so she knew that's just nothing. So she was going to be mean to it again, and that thing bit her again. Bit her twice today. And so it made a believer out of it. That rocks. And down there, I'm going to bring a little blanket. I said, yeah? It can't do anything. I said, yes, it can. She goes, what can it do? I said, look, sit. And it sat up. And I said, see, it sits. I said, now, I said, roll over. And I turned it over. It even rolls over. She goes, you're doing that. I said, well, I said, it needs help sometimes, you know. Anyway, all right, Ephesians chapter 6, starting to verse 13. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. We're to take the whole armor of God. We need every piece of what God has for us to protect ourselves. Before I go any farther than this, here a while back, there was a guy that, here a few years ago, I had a guy came up to me, and he says to me, he says, you know, he says, I am having so much trouble. He says, it's just terrible. He says, it seems like wherever I turn, he says, something bad happens. He says, it just, everywhere I go, he says, something bad happens to me. And he says, I cannot figure out why, and I don't know what to do about it. And I said to him, I said, well, I said, I have a solution for you that will help you immensely. And he says, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, if every morning when you get up, you will take and you will go into your Bible, and you will read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 16, I guarantee within a month, you're going to find things are going to be a lot better. And he goes, yeah, right. I said, do it. Just try doing it. Just try doing that one thing. I said, they're very short verses, and I said, you could take and do them in about 5 minutes reading them. And after you read them a few times, you're going to have them memorized, and you won't, you know, it won't take any time at all. So he said, okay, he says, I'll do it. So the first day, he read that first verse. He said, wherefore take upon you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil days, having done all to stand. And so then he went to the next verse, and we'll get down into them. And so after a week, he came to me, and he said, that wasn't nice. I said, what wasn't nice? He says, you telling me to read that. I said, why? He says, because. He says, every morning now, I get up and I put on the full armor of God. And you know what? He says, my days have been a whole lot better. He said, I want to thank you. I said, yeah, but the month's not up yet. He says, you want me to do it for a whole... I said, I want you to do it for a whole month. So I did. He did it every day for 1 month. And do you know that at the end of that month, all of a sudden, things started turning around for him? Everything started getting better? He wasn't fighting Satan like he was before? Things were starting to click in his life again? So he came into my office after a month, and he says, Pastor, he says, thank you so much for having me do that for 1 month. I said, well, I said, are you done? He said, what do you mean? I said, are you done after a month? I said, you should just keep on. Because I said, the more you put on that armor, the better you're going to be in life. And, you know, so many times, I believe that people don't put on the armor the way they should. You know, a soldier cannot go into battle unless he's fully protected. You know, he needs every bit of his armor to protect his body against the enemy and what the enemy might throw at him. You know, he needs to be totally prepared for what is going to be ahead of him in the battle that he's going to be in. You know, God has an armor which you and I need to put on. We need to realize that we need the whole armor of God. We cannot miss one little bit. We need it all. You know, he goes on to say that ye may be able to withstand in the evil days. Well, let me see here. All of us, I believe, are tempted by Satan every day, aren't we? All of us are going to need to protect ourselves from the forces of Satan. All of us need to be armorized to be kept safe from Satan and what he has for us. You know, there will be days when Satan is going to tempt us with booze, drugs, sex, pornography, using words that are unbecoming a Christian, and we need to be ready to stand in those days that when we're tempted. Jacob and I were talking this afternoon a little bit about preachers. And you know that preachers are tempted just like everybody else? Did you know that? Jacob said to me, he says, you know, he says, I don't think that you would ever have any problem with, outside sin. I said, I have problems with it every day. He says, well, and then I was telling him about pastors that I know who have been in big churches, huge churches, who have fallen to sexual sins. I know of six pastors of fundamental, independent Baptist churches in the last 5 years that have fallen from their pulpits. One of them, his wife left him for one of the deacons. Another one, he was caught in an adulterous affair with a teenager, and he was taking her across state lines, which is also called kidnapping. He's doing 17 years behind bars. Had a job. He had a church of 5,000 people every Sunday morning. Lost his church, lost his family, lost his job, lost everything. Listen, we need to be prepared when Satan comes at us. We need to be prepared for that. we need to take and be prepared when all of a sudden we have a temptation to go out and get drunk. We need to have be prepared for the temptation when we're tempted to take drugs or have a fling, a one-night fling with the opposite sex, or go on to your websites and look at pornography, or using words which are unbecoming a Christian. You know, I'll tell you what, one thing that really bothers me in this day and age is the language people use. And they call themselves Christians. I mean, it's just unreal. And, this last weekend we had the teens at a teen conference, and we heard some of the best preaching that I've heard in a long time. And boy, I'll tell you what, they were right down in those teenagers' face trying to get them to understand that they need to keep themselves pure, keep themselves clean, keep the music out of their ears. But you know, Paul goes on to say, we are to stand. You know, a person cannot fight if you're laying down. Did you know that? They can't fight. You can't fight if you lay down. A person has a hard time fighting if they're in a sitting position unless you got a gun. Amen? Paul is telling his readers they must stand and fight. He doesn't tell them to run away. That's one thing I see about this. He said, look at that verse. He says, that ye may be able to withstand the evil days, and having done all, to stand. He doesn't say run. He says stand. Face it. Get in the battle. Because you're going to have to fight it one way or another. You know, he tells them to stand and fight like a man. You know, it's easy to turn and run from a battle, isn't it? You know, last night, how many of you watched President Trump's State of the Union address? I did. I'll tell you what, I enjoyed it. I really did. And I looked at those servicemen that were up there and the stories that were told about them and stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, those are the heroes. Those are the heroes of life. You know, they never once ever thought about turning and running the other way. They ran into the battle. They ran in to take and save their comrades. They ran in to take and help with what was going on. They did not turn around and run the other way. That's a chicken. Amen? You know, as I was doing this, I was thinking of Gideon and how Gideon was hiding in the wine press. He was a chicken! And yet God used him in a miraculous way. Can you imagine 300 men, 300, against an innumerable army of Midianites that were, believe it or not, chosen fighters? Now, the thing I find so interesting about that is, what did they use? A pitcher and a trumpet. Now, think about that for just a minute. Can you fight if both of your hands have something in them other than a weapon? A pitcher and a trumpet. I mean, you could hit somebody over the head with a trumpet. I mean, you know, you'd break it and stuff, but I mean, you could get maybe one or two good licks in. And they already broke the pitcher, so the pitcher wasn't any good. So, you know, God says that we are to stand and that we are to go forward into battle. We are to take and look at what's ahead of us and go forward. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Look at once again. Not only did he say stand in verse 13, but he also says stand in verse 14. Verse 14, he says, stand therefore. Don't sit, don't kneel, don't lay down. We've got to stand and be ready for the fight when it comes to us. You know, we are to have our loins girded about with truth. What are your loins? Huh? No, yeah, our waist, our loins. Girded about with truth. Well, let's look at that for a minute. Why was it that they had to have their loins girded? A soldier had to have their loins girded. Why? Why were you to protect your stomach? Where are your organs at? What soldiers would do back then, they would take a sword and they would come up from the bottom up, trying to get your lungs and your heart with an upward thrust. But if you had your loins girded, had protection down here, they couldn't do that. They would hit the armor and it would fall off. We're to have our loins girded. Now, truth is a conformity. The words thought, which are called moral truth. We're to have ourselves girded with the word and thoughts of the word of God. We should dwell on the pure things instead of the things of this world. Think about that for just a minute. You know, if we would think on the things that are in that old book and dwell on those, and not on the things in the world, we'd have a lot better life, wouldn't we? But then he goes on to say, put the breastplate. This is the protection of the chest area. This protects your heart, the inner thoughts, the pattern. A man's treasure is there in his heart, or where a man's treasure is, there his heart is also. If a person does not protect his heart, he will die. If a person lets down his breast area, he's exposing himself to be killed. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Dana and his new heart. You know, he's got to protect that heart. He's got to have that breastplate on every day to protect that new heart. You know, all of us need to put that breastplate on and be careful what we allow into our hearts. Then it goes on to say, breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is purity of heart, conformity to the heart and life to the divine law. Righteousness is used in Scripture and theology. In which it is chiefly used is nearly equivalent to holiness, comprehending holy principles and affections of the heart, conformity of life, and the divine law. It includes all we call justice, honesty, and virtue with holy affections. In short, it is true religion. That's what righteousness is all about. We need to protect our heart with true religion and the justice and honesty and virtue that takes place in a pure heart. You know, people can take and go to all kinds of different churches, can't they? There's a lot of things being preached out there today. And I had a dream the other night. I usually don't wake up, but it was a nightmare. I dreamt that Joel Osteen had invited me to come and preach in his church. And I went and I talked to a couple pastor friends of mine, and they said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm not going." They said, "What?" I said, "I'm not going." And they said, "Why not?" I said, "Because about the time I got up there and I started preaching," I said, "they grabbed that hook and pulled me right off the stage." And I woke up. Anyway, but listen, what we need to realize is this. We need to be careful what we listen to from the pulpit. You know, one thing that I was really excited about this weekend, when we went to this teen conference, they had two preachers there. They had Brother Bob Gray from the second from Longview, Texas, and they had Brother Brown from Iowa. And when they got all done preaching, one of the kids said to me, they said, "You know what? They preach just like you do." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "They say the same thing you do." I said, "Praise the Lord." "What do you mean?" I said, "When you hear two people saying the same thing, it's from God's Word, from the Holy Spirit." What we need to realize is this, is there's too many people out there that are preaching a different gospel. It's watered down. People aren't getting saved. Verse 15 says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Our feet shod. We need our feet protected. You know, the early soldier would have on metal boots to protect his feet from being injured by the enemy. You know, if a person's feet were injured, that soldier could not fight. Think about this for a minute. An enemy is coming at you with a spear. Many times, instead of going at you like this, they came at you like this, going for your feet, trying to cripple you. If a person was crippled, he could not go forward into battle. He was dead right there. That's why they had armor on their feet and their legs, so that they would take and protect their legs and their feet from the enemy. But then he goes on to say that we need to have it our feet shod with preparation. The word preparation means to become prepared for service. A soldier is prepared for battle. A farmer prepares his field for a crop, doesn't he? You know, do all of a sudden in the fall, a farmer go out there and start harvesting cotton? He doesn't. He doesn't just go out to the field and start bringing in the cotton. No. He has to first till that field. Then he has to plant that field. Then he has to fertilize that field. Then he has to make sure there's no bugs in that field. And then he has to kill it off at the end of the year so he can pick the cotton. Farmers have to prepare everything in order to get their crop in. Christians need to prepare for battle with the forces of evil. The gospel of peace, the word gospel means good message. The word of God, this here book, This is a good message. This is a good message. You know, there's a lot of people that say, well, you know what? You're just old-fashioned. You use that King James Bible. Say, yeah. It was good for my mother. It was good for my mother. It was good for my mother. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Listen, one thing we need to realize is this old book right here, King James 1611, has been around for a long time. There has never been a worldwide revival by any other edition of the Word of God other than the King James Bible. I wonder if God wants us to read this book. But the Gospel of Peace, the word peace in general sense means state of quietness, tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation, acceptable to society, to individuals, or to temper of the mind. You know, we are to have the gospel of peace to share with those who need it. We are to be ready to share the gospel message with all who we come in contact with. It was such a joy for me on Friday night where they gave the invitation, and there was about 25 kids went forward for salvation. And I was able to go up front and lead two young boys to the Lord. And one little boy looked at me after he prayed, and he says, wow. He says, I feel so good. I feel so good. I said, you got the peace in your heart. You know, our feet need to be a sermon in shoes, don't they? You know, we sing a song in Sunday school. Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes. Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes. But anyway, that's the way it goes. So take it, talk it, and walk it, and share it, and something else. But what we need to realize is that we need to be a sermon in shoes. How is your testimony? How does your testimony look? Do you walk your talk? Do you do the things that you say you do? Verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. We need to take the shield of faith. We need something in front of us as we go through life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need the faith of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God to give us our faith. Period. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not by works, lest what? Any man should boast. Satan will throw all of his fiery darts at us he can, and we need faith that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to fight them off for us. Soldiers would take their shields and would use them to glance off any arrows or spears that would come their way to save their lives. Listen, we need the same shield in front of us to fight off all the fiery darts of Satan. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, we are to take the helmet of salvation. We're to keep our heads protected. Why are we to keep our heads protected? Oh, careful little ears what you hear. Oh, be careful little ears what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful little ears what you hear. Oh, be careful little eyes what you see. Oh, be careful little eyes what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Listen, what we need to realize is this. What goes in here goes down here. What goes in our ears goes down to our heart. This last weekend, one of the preachers was talking about music. He says, you know what your problem is, teenager? You sit in here, you listen to praise Him, Jesus the Blessed Redeemer. You walk through those doors, you go out, get in the car, and you put those stupid earbuds in, And then you're listening to all the world's music. It got quiet. What music do you listen to? What do you listen to? Do you listen to God edifying music, or do you listen to something else? Listen, we need to have our heads, our helmet on, so we protect our ears, we protect our head from what it would be. But then we're to take the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what. I like carrying this old book. Come on, Satan. Let's do it. Come on. I'm ready. I'm ready to duel with him. I'm ready. Listen, we need to have the sword of the Spirit with us. We need to hide God's Word in our heart that we don't sin against him. Listen, we need to read the Word of God daily. You know, what a better time of the day than to read God's Word when you first get up in the morning. You don't have to read a lot, just read a little bit. I guarantee if you will read just a little bit every single morning when you get up, it won't be long and you're reading a whole lot. Amen. Then all of a sudden your days are going better and better and better and better. You know, we need to read God's Word because it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is by the Word of God that we can fight off Satan. Listen to me. Even the Lord had to use the Word of God to fight off Satan. And he was the Son of God. Think about that. When he was 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, what happened? He came out and Satan says, "Hey, you hungry?" After all, the Bible said he hungered. He said, "You hungry?" He says, "See those stones? If you're the Son of God, have them turn into bread." What did Jesus say? Man should not live by bread alone. He quoted Psalms. All of a sudden, Satan takes him up into a high pinnacle on the temple, and he says, "Cast yourself down, for isn't it..." He used Scripture himself. Jesus, "Is it not written that before you dash your foot upon a stone, the angels will come and lift you up? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy..." Takes him up into a high mountain. "See all these kingdoms, they're all mine. You bow down to me and you can have them. Get behind me, Satan." We need to realize this. We cannot fight Satan without the Word of God. We have to have God's Word planted inside us, and we need to read it every single day, on a regular basis. If you would do that, I guarantee, in every one of us in this room tonight. Father, thank you so much for tonight.